The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
The quarterback, two receivers lined up to the left, one to the right. There's a flanker lined up to the left behind the quarterback.
Okay.
He gives the ball, though. He doesn't get the ball. The receiver goes all the way over there to the left. Once the quarterback has the ball, he fakes to the left. No, he fakes to the right. He doesn't fake. He thinks about fake. He pretends to fake.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's not like you could use a shower. Oh,
listen. You can think what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Paul Perillo.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
And Andy.
There, girl, you're seeing.
I see a lot of girls. I see a lot of guys, too.
I think that's sexy. You ever been with a guy and a girl at the same time?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. The other night, I was with my mama and Coach Klein at the same time.
Andy Hart.
And I like Vicky, and she likes me back. And she showed me her boobies, and I like them too.
Eric Scalavino.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
For now, anyway.
Ooh, I'm a football player.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now.
Not yet.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh, no! We suck again!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium. Rookies, some veterans are here doing some OTAs. Lots going on, despite it being the off season here in Foxborough. And we're going to talk about it for the next 2 hours here on PFW in Progress. And we might have a special guest calling in at some point, the newest inductee to the Patriots Hall of Fame, Ty Law.
Yo, what's up, Fred?
I gave him the number. I don't know if he's going to call. So,
you talked to him?
No, it's actually...
He lost the number.
It's being facilitated by the Patriots Media Relations staff.
Oh.
So I gave
I thought you had talked to him.
I gave them the number.
That would have been a little bit more...
Well, I've talked to him before.
Hopeful. Yeah. No, but I would have been a little bit more hopeful had you actually...
Yeah. No, I think they might do this, you know, assume...
Well, I know they'll try.
Yeah. They figure they can't get us any active players, so they might as well, you know, put in the effort for...
We'll be having...
What
Ty
seriously?
Law.
What is? What?
They can't get us any active players. We've been asking. It's tough. It's tough. This is
and antagonizing certainly helps,
and it would certainly seem as if it's going to be tougher.
This is a tough room. It's a tough room. Only the strong survive. PFW in Progress.
Apparently. It's true.
You know,
it's true. Apparently, we lob one too many softballs.
That's right.
Right.
One of them got away.
Right on the head.
One of them got away.
All right, Web
Radio. Well, if you would lob them into the strike zone, Paul, then, you know.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. 855-PATS-500 for a toll-free option. Big Head.
Does that say an 11-year-old girl qualified for the U.S. Open?
What are you
is
reading?
Is that right?
Wow. 11. Jeez.
Wow. Anyway, Big Head's down in Florida with the family.
Yes, that's why I'm talking.
At Disney World.
I have a chance to speak,
so
which is nice.
And I predict, I think he landed a couple hours ago or so. I predict he's already miserable.
Yeah. I'm sure he's, you know, yelling at a character right
now. No one can ruin a trip to Disney like Andy Hart.
I don't know. I think he's excited about it. I got a feeling he's going to
have
a good
time. Oh, he was excited
time.
About it, but I think he's miserable already because there's something he's already that's already gotten his dander
well,
up.
Well, I'm sure he'll have his little – but I think overall he's going to have a good time.
He won't tell us that, though.
Yeah.
No. He'll insist that it was the worst trip of his life.
Well, I'm convinced he will not give me the satisfaction because I keep telling him how much fun he's going to have with his kids and how it is. It's a great place.
Right.
It's just nothing but fun.
I also predict
if you want to sit there and just worry about every dime you're spending, then you'll be miserable.
Or how much time you're spending
in
a certain line. You know,
he's going to be obsessed
with flow,
that.
That's what he's going to focus on.
I think Disney sucks if you're in a rush. If you're not in a rush and you can just go with the flow, then I think you can have a great time there. You know?
If you like parks. Like, I'm kind of with Andy in the fact that I don't care for theme parks, really. I don't like
Disney,
nauseating rides.
Disney's
and I don't
different.
Like,
It's Disney World.
There's a lot of stuff to do. It's not really just
right.
It's a lot different. It's not just an amusement park. There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Disney World?
Of course.
You have?
Yeah, you go to it at least once.
Disney World, not Disneyland.
Disney World. No, I've never been to Disneyland.
Yeah. I've never been to Disneyland either.
I haven't either.
Been to Disney World twice.
Twice?
Yeah.
How old were you?
I was actually an adult both times. I went once. The first time I went work-related.
Yeah.
We were doing a remote in radio down there. And the second time was a few years after that, just with some buddies. We went on a Patriots road trip, actually, Jacksonville. And we spent most of our time in Orlando.
No one parties like them.
Yeah.
Patriots road trip. Let's go to Disney World.
Says the guy who drives to Richmond every year for Loser Palooza.
Right. Well,
I don't go to an amusement park when I get there.
I love
drink.
I love Disney World. I haven't been in a while, but it's a great place.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Patriots stuff. What do we got going on?
They signed some rookies.
Yeah.
They cut some rookies and other players.
A lot of teams are signing fairly quickly, and I know that's been accelerating of late because of the
Thankfully.
New CBA.
Yes.
What it was supposed to do, and that's the one part of evidently of the new CBA that's working.
Yes.
Yeah, now,
that all the draft picks are signing immediately.
Yeah, most of the quarterbacks have signed. Bortles hasn't, I don't think. And I don't think has Manziel signed.
Well, only a handful of first round picks have signed.
Yeah, Bridgewater.
Yeah, first round.
Bridgewater signed.
Andy's guy Barr signed today.
Yeah, I think there was
Barr
like
and
five.
Bridgewater.
I think there's like five or six of them that have signed. Well, you know, maybe today more of them fallen into place, but yeah, everybody, it's like dominoes, bang.
Yeah,
they're all getting done, and they're all going to be done probably within a week.
With New England, we only have the top two that are missing, contract wise, Easley and Garoppolo. That's it. Yep. Everyone else is under contract. They let go of one of the rookie tight ends that they brought in last week before he even
Tyler
Beck.
That happens every year. There's a guy that comes in and has a cup of coffee and then leaves.
Yeah. Yep. And the long snapper veteran that they signed during the offseason, early in the offseason, Charlie Hewlett, was let go. And
got the kid from Harvard, right?
Right. So there's still competition there. It's still a race.
Sure.
Then I would expect there to be.
Yeah.
Because Aiken, although didn't have many real gaffes, was a little erratic last year, including one that did get away in the playoffs against Indianapolis. So I would expect him to have some competition.
Sure.
Not that that's a major topic
for us. Did they bring in any kickers, punters?
No.
Not yet?
Not yet. Mm-mm.
There's still, I think, four slots open, right? Four, five?
I think it's three.
Three.
Yeah, well, I counted just one on the current Patriots.com roster, and whether or not that's – I asked the guys, if that was up to date, they said it was, but I haven't checked with PR to double check on that.
I thought we were down to three, but in any case, it's a
handful,
and you can always bring in whoever you want.
Sure, right. You just got to get rid of somebody,
right?
Like Tyler Beck.
Mm.
Yep.
So let's play the game.
Yeah.
What did Tyler Beck do?
Probably came in a little heavier than they thought, or
late for a meeting
maybe
is what I'll say.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Hmm. Yeah. Maybe he forgot something that they had given him, or, you know, it could be the slightest thing.
Slightest thing.
Because those guys are on a fine line.
Yes.
It's like there's a million of you. If you can't, if it's this early and you're already not doing what we tell you to do, see you later.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. That's
it could
why
be
I
a
always,
million things.
I always think of, you know, he showed up late one morning.
Right.
You know, supposed to be there at 7, got strolled in at 7:30. Something, you know, overslept or whatever. See you.
That's tough.
Or maybe they're planning to do something at that position, and they just figured, we don't need an extra rookie at that position.
Yeah,
but
it's very fluid. Right
and that now. And that is, and we've talked about Dustin Keller forever on this show, so that's very plausible. But my guess is he was the guy who got picked, not necessarily because he went out there and, this guy just can't play.
Mm.
It's more like what Fred or what you said, you know, maybe a little bit, different body type than they thought he was just on paper when they got him in here and looked at him. Not really what we're looking for. He can't do the things we want him to do. Or, you know, something more egregious like missing a meeting or showing up late or something. But I like to play those games. Like, how did you get cut in a day and a half?
Right.
Or, you know, wherever it was. He was here for like a week, right?
Let's put in a request for the guy who got cut and just get that story.
You know, with Law calling in, who was voted into the Patriots Hall of Fame, Eric Wilbur wrote an article in the Globe this morning, you know, just kind of saying that it's ridiculous basically, that Bill Parcells is not in the Hall of Fame yet. And I get what he's saying and everything, but it's not ridiculous. It's a process, and he'll get in eventually. I don't know what the hue and cry is.
I'm not sure he will.
You know, you don't think he will?
I think he should, but I'm not sure he's going to.
I think he definitely will. I think it's just a matter of time.
I agree.
Based on who he's up against.
I agree.
Well, let's put it this way. I'm not sure he'll be alive when he gets in.
Let's put it this way. If it was,
well, that might be true.
If
too.
It was Raymond Claiborne, Bill Parcells, and Raymond Berry this year, I think Parcells would get in.
But it's not going to be that for about 15 years.
Not 15 years.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a while.
About.
It's going to be a while.
You think so?
Yeah.
That long?
Well, because next year, there let's will take a gander at who's next year.
There's well, going McGinnis to be next year, probably. Right?
There's going
Claiborne
to be, there's
and
going to be
Parcells
a modern,
again, yeah. probably.
There's going to be a modern-day guy. For the foreseeable future. And that modern-day guy is going to win out over Bill Parcells every single time. McGinnis, Harrison,
all those
guys are going to, you know, the Matt Lights of the world. Mm. You know, forgetting about Tom Brady.
Mm.
Yeah, I think he gets in eventually.
I agree with you, Fred. Yeah. But like Paul said, Wes it could
Welker.
Be a while. It could be a
It's going to be 15, 20 years. He's not going to be alive when he gets in.
You don't think so?
Nope.
Wow.
I think it's going to be like 15 or 20 years.
Unless.
And I'm not necessarily saying that's wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I know usually I'm like critiquing the fans and beating up on everybody. To me, it was a no-brainer. It was Ty Law. This particular thing. Ty Law was a great player for the Patriots.
Right.
For a long time. Bill Parcells, I understand how instrumental he is. Believe me, there's very few people in New England left that are as strong a supporters of Parcells as I am. But. To me, Ty Law, Bill Parcells, that's a blowout. Ty Law every time.
Yep.
I don't like the rules that we use, the one per year. I don't like coaches being included with players, but I don't make the rules.
Mm-hmm. Now, there could be a case where as it starts to get a little late in the game, maybe ownership says, you know what, Bill deserves to be in there. We're going to lay down the edict that Bill is going in this
year,
along with whoever the player is that's voted in.
They might step in.
That's not out of the question, I don't think.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it's this huge tragedy that Eric Wilbur made it out to be this morning.
No, I don't think it's a tragedy. I agree. First of all, it's a Hall of Fame. Mm. It's fun. It's for the fans. Mm-hmm. It's a fun thing to talk about.
Right.
And so like, where's the harm?
Right.
And like you said, it's going to happen eventually.
And a lot of people down the road... you know, might pass through New England and get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame and not necessarily into the Patriots Hall of Fame. It's
because it's what you did here.
Totally, you know, Randy Moss might get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but he may not get into the Patriots Hall of Fame, you know?
That would be a good example.
Yeah.
That's a good example of that.
You know? So.
And that might be, that actually might, I think that might
happen.
Play out exactly that way.
That could happen. Somebody who had a cup of coffee with the Patriots during the course of an otherwise Hall of Fame career.
If Moss had stayed... Hadn't been traded, you know, had been the good soldier.
Sure.
I think it would have been a lock that he would have been in the Patriots Hall.
Wow, that looks pretty cool. The Vikings' new stadium under construction.
Yeah.
It does look cool.
I like it. It's like an ice
NFL
dome.
Network. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah, but
a shard of an iceberg. Yeah.
A shard.
Superman. Superman's home.
It does. It looks really nice.
I like the Randy Moss example, though, because that is, you know, it would have to be rare.
Yeah.
But that could be an example of one.
Yeah. Now, Vinatieri will probably get in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and he will get into the Patriots Hall of Fame.
He should get into the Patriots Hall of Fame, too. That's another one that's pushing Parcells back.
Yes.
Because he's going to be up in the next 10 or 15 years with Parcells, and he's going to win.
Absolutely
now,
deserves to be in
the Vince Wilfork get into the Patriots Hall of
Fame? He will win over Parcells as well. Matt Light, Mike Vrabel, Wes Welker.
What gets Vince into the Patriots Hall of Fame?
10 years
longevity.
Of a Pro Bowl career.
Longevity and
won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. But I think more, that happened so early, and he was a rookie.
Fred, you know we re-signed him, right? We extended him.
Wes Welker? You think Wes Welker gets
I think he's a team Hall of Fame guy, yeah.
You do?
Especially if you have...
I do. He's been here long. He was
the precedent set. Yeah. Everybody's getting in.
And you think Rodney gets in?
Yeah.
Willie McGinnis gets in?
Yeah.
Mike Vrabel?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Just everybody who got a Pro Bowl?
Fred, I'm not arguing with you about deserving nature, but you've already opened the door.
Yes.
Like, the guys are trickling in.
Yeah.
Troy Brown's in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the guys that have contributed to good teams, good players who contributed to great teams, I should say.
Yeah.
Good players, with great teams are going in.
The good thing, though, about this, Fred, is that
Kevin Falk? Look out.
The good man,
look out. The good
thing
is,
Mike Compton, come on in. Russ right. Hoekstra.
No.
Let's go.
All right, big head. Now,
David Patton.
Hey, all right, listen. He's not here. Paul. Let's not be ridiculous.
It's everything but Patriots.com, Chris.
Right. I have to convince him how important these guys are.
You know how I am about Hall of Fames. I just think that if there's any discussion, you're out.
Well, wait a minute. Okay, all right. Now, you know where I stand on this, but I'm going to play devil's advocate because you know I like to argue.
You?
You don't think there's an argument? You don't think that there's a discussion to be had for Parcells? 32 and 32?
I do.
Okay, so what's the big
deal?
I don't think he should
come on!
In my Hall of Fame,
a lot of
guys that are in wouldn't
you
be
wouldn't
in.
Put Bill but Parcells
think,
in the Hall of Fame.
I think as the precedent has been set, he'll get in.
When you're talking,
he should get in.
But you really don't think he should be in.
That's
it?
Not about a precedent.
No, he should
on
be.
On his own.
No,
he's instrumental in the turnaround.
Yeah.
Instrumental.
Well.
He's right there with Roberts.
It's true. It's true,
yeah.
Fred.
Well, Orthwein hired him. So
I know,
should
Orthwein
be in?
But him and Robert were the ones that spearheaded the trip to respectability. And then without Parcells, there is no Belichick.
Yeah. Mm.
And without Belichick, there's no Brady.
Mm-hmm.
What would have happened if Belichick hadn't come as a head coach and the Patriots hadn't won all those Super Bowls?
There wouldn't be a Hall of Fame, first of all.
there was one before that, an extension of
the parking lot.
But in the Patriots Hall of Fame, would Parcells go in then?
I'm sorry. I was laughing at the drop.
If
he had the career that he had, but they didn't hire Belichick
and they never won any of those Super Bowls.
All right, if Parcells had the career he had and they never won, I think his legacy would be even greater.
Yeah, because
he would be proven
would
to be the only
as,
one that could win.
Yeah.
I think he'd have less chance.
I think he'd have more chance.
You know,
I think with,
what
with,
did the team turn into?
Well, but the
but
Hall of Fame, also,
but with him, he showed that he's a Super Bowl.
The argument that Eric Wilbur's making is all these guys that ended up winning Super Bowl were started by Parcells. Well, if none of them had ever won any Super Bowls, then what are we talking about?
But I agree with that. That's strong for his legacy, but if that didn't happen and they couldn't win, then he proves himself to be even greater. He was the only one that could win.
And also,
what did it amount to?
A Super Bowl.
The fact that you
said they didn't win it.
The fact that they got
to a Super Bowl in 85.
So 2007 and 2011 are now meaningless for you.
No.
They didn't win it.
No.
They didn't win it.
We're talking Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but they didn't win it.
We're talking Hall of Fame.
I'm sorry, going to Super Bowls is an accomplishment. 2007 and 2011 were great accomplishments.
They
didn't win it.
They were.
They didn't win it. They weren't as great as 01, 03, and 04, but they were still great teams. Stop.
But we're talking Hall of Fame. It's talking something completely different.
Right. And he would have taken your team from a combined 8 wins in the 3 previous seasons that he got here.
So does Raymond
Berry
get
in? To the Super Bowl. Raymond Berry did the same thing that Bill Parcells did?
He took a floundering team and they went to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, but do you think that he was the same caliber coach? And first of all, I think Raymond Berry
was good, if not better, a GM.
But he was a terrible GM. What are you
Raymond
talking about?
Berry?
Raymond Berry wasn't a GM.
They brought in a lot of good guys.
Raymond Berry wasn't a GM,
Fred.
Wait
a minute. I'm thinking of the other guy.
Chuck Fairbanks.
Yeah.
And Chuck Fairbanks has every bit as a say in getting to the Hall of Fame as Parcells.
So you
absolutely.
You think Chuck Fairbanks should get in the Patriots Hall of Fame?
Yes. And there are another. Unfortunately, he's already dead and we'll never see it.
But I think the point you made a moment ago when I said about there wouldn't be a Hall of Fame, you said, well, there already was one.
Right.
It wouldn't be as big a deal.
Oh, no.
So nobody would care whether...
I don't think that any team should establish their Hall of Fame until the team accomplishes the ultimate goal.
His rule subset D.
Well, I kind of agree with that. Because I mean,
you can't have a good player if you win
you need to
Super
get
Bowl.
The fame before you get the Hall of Fame.
Right, right.
I disagree with you guys.
So you think the Arizona Cardinals should have a Hall of Fame? They haven't done anything.
Sure, they haven't had any. Aeneas Williams, not worthy of
being in the
Hall of Fame.
I think it should be on their roadmap, but I think they should wait before they establish.
Larry Fitzgerald shouldn't be in a team Hall of Fame because they didn't win the Super Bowl?
You can do
a
jersey retirement, ring of honor kind of thing, but to have a Hall of Fame, you need to have done something.
Well, whatever you want to call it, whatever you want to call it, a building or a recognition, I don't care. You can use these semantics. I don't care if it has to be a building. I don't care.
I think you wait until.
But I mean, I think you can have great players that don't win Super Bowls.
I agree. Like John Hanna, obviously, is a good example, but I think that you wait until that bar has been set high and then you can figure out who gets in there, you know? It's tough. Like the Patriots,
I don't think
Patriots
that players – I mean,
Patriots made a really bad decision a long time ago to start retiring numbers before they had achieved the ultimate team goal. Because, you know,
I don't like your premise of the bar, though. And listen, I don't have to be right. We can argue about this. Mike Haynes and Ty Law. So in your book, Ty Law is the bar because he was on the Super Bowl teams. Mike Haynes is a better player. So right. Why can't he be in the team Hall of Fame?
He would get in. Absolutely.
But thank God we won 3 Super Bowls so we could get him in. You know, otherwise, we wouldn't be able to have one.
Mike Haynes proved himself, as a great player. You know, way beyond winning Super Bowls, you know.
I know, and there's a lot of guys
perennial
that do that.
Pro Bowl, Pro Football Hall of Famer. You know, it's undeniable. It's undeniable. But in terms of a team and what the team accomplishes, you know, and what each player contributed to that accomplishment, until you have the
I have
ultimate,
no argument there. That's fine.
Until you have the ultimate accomplishment, that's where you set the bar. And then you say, all right, well, guys like John Hanna, we may not have won a Super Bowl with him, but it's undeniable how great he was. He gets in. Mike Haynes, he gets in. Andre Tippett, he gets
in. But you just said that you need to have the ultimate success before you have that bar.
You wait to see what that success – you wait. You know – retired numbers now.
I like Eric's argument better. At least he stands by his convictions. You just waffled in the wind.
But you used to root for the Denver Broncos back in the day.
Right.
Right?
Yes,
They had a ring of honor before they won a Super Bowl,
right.
Didn't they?
Yep.
So I think you can strike the balance between having an all-out building dedicated to a Hall of Fame that people come and visit.
Right.
Like we have here, like the Packers have. And having something like the Broncos. The Broncos had, to Paul's point, the Broncos had great players throughout their career before they won the Super Bowl.
See, that to me is a hall. I mean, like, that's why I said I'm not going to get into semantics. Eric might be right. Maybe you don't need a building for that. But a Ring of Honor, that's a Hall of Fame. He's in the Team Hall of Fame. The Ring of Honor is the Team Hall of Fame. Whether you have a building or not, I think you might be right. I think there's only, like, two. Isn't
Green Bay and us?
Green Bay are the only two that actually have them, right?
Does Dallas have one in the new building?
Not sure.
Because they, I mean, if any team should have one, I mean, the Cowboys can have a Hall of Fame. The Steelers could have a Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
So if you want to say the actual building that you have all this stuff in, I don't, that's fine if you don't need to have one of those. But I'm just talking about individual great players recognized as team Hall of Famers. I don't think you need to win a Super Bowl for that.
No.
I think it's an individual award. It's not a team award.
I just think before you establish it, I think you wait. And then you slide those people in that
didn't win.
How do you explain
wait.
The Broncos?
I don't need to wait.
I wouldn't.
Mecklenburg
like they
was
did.
Just so good that they had a door.
I mean, I wouldn't.
Randy
do that.
Bradshaw.
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't start.
So you didn't like the fact that they had one
as an owner of a team. I wouldn't start recognizing individuals until my team won a Super Bowl. And then I would slide those guys in past years but I would. Wait for that team, because it's a team sport.
But what if the team never does it? What if the team goes 70, 80 years without winning something?
Then I go to my grave
lamenting
with unfinished business. You know, as an owner, I'm interested in is winning a championship. I
picture Fred coming back like Jacob Marley with all of the chains, and you know, his ghost is going to haunt the stadium for eternity. Yeah,
that's what I'm aiming for.
Some odd views on your Hall of Fame
you know. When my team gets those accomplishments, you know, guys will get their individual, you know, recognition. That'll come along the way. But as an owner, my goal is to win a championship.
I understand that. That has nothing to do with the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying. It's an individual award.
I understand. But I'll get my.
So you would also, if you were the owner and you didn't win the Super Bowl, but one of your players was named a Pro Bowl, would you would you repeal that? I don't want any individual honors for my players until they win a Super Bowl.
Did Big Head get back from Florida?
Do you think
that's a Big Head?
You think that's a hyperbolic argument?
Yes.
That's basically what you're saying. No individual awards until we win a Super Bowl.
I didn't say that. I said I wouldn't do a Hall of Fame. I wouldn't start my Hall of Fame until we've won our team championship.
Yeah, I don't think that's. I'm not exaggerating much to say that's what you're saying.
Teams don't issue Pro Bowls. That's done by the league.
Yeah, but then how do you reconcile then wanting to honor a player? Let's say you had a player who had a 12-year career, went to the Pro Bowl every year.
We'll have a day for him.
Well, what's the difference between having a day?
That's my point in a nutshell.
Putting his number up.
You guys want to talk about a building with a Hall of Fame? Okay.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, if you're right,
I don't.
To me, all that stuff is that's what you're saying.
I give
this
him
guy
his day.
Is a player who's special in our franchise's history.
I give him his day.
And you don't want
to
do that.
Put him off to the side, right, and when we start a Hall of Fame, he'll go in.
Okay. So you're the same as me. Okay.
So we all agree.
We all agree. After all of that, we all agree.
You have
great players that transcend your team.
I just don't start my Hall of Fame until my team has won the ultimate prize.
Okay.
Because it's a team sport.
Jeez.
So.
For an individual honor.
Right. You know, we talk about team first. Team first.
Team. Then, you know. Team.
Like part of a team. Team.
Team.
So a lot of people emailing in.
not surprised.
Telling us to move
after
on.
After that nonsense.
Let's see. Larry says,
We all end up agreeing.
Parcells should never get in. I see him as a carpetbagger. He came here to get the team ready to move to St. Louis. Never get in. A lot of people feel that way.
Wait. That Parcells wanted to move the team to St. Louis?
Oh, they brought – Orthwine brought him here to give the team credibility so that he could move him to St. Louis.
Right, but they ultimately didn't move to St. Louis, and he ultimately
only
helped,
because Kraft wouldn't let him.
Well, yeah, but he ultimately helped turn around the franchise's fortunes.
Yeah, I don't think that they were – I don't think Parcells was necessary. I think Orthwine wanted it like that, but I don't think Parcells was wanting to go to St. Louis.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, Parcells could care less.
Yeah.
In fact, if they,
I think he wanted to stay
Louis,
here. He's
he
a North.
Well, he might have quit.
Well, yeah, because he's a Northeast guy. Right. I think, especially at the time.
Let's see.
Until he went to Dallas, Miami.
Yeah.
Anywhere else?
anywhere else that would pay him. Well, that was after the divorce.
We actually have to take care of some internal business for a quick minute. So let's take a break. We come back. We'll get back to this discussion and others.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be here until 2:00, and we'll be right back.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved, with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, We're Gillette, the best a man can get.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, and as promised, on the line we have the newest member of the Patriots Hall of Fame, Ty Law. Ty, hey, thanks for calling in.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome.
Yeah.
You're
here. Congratulations.
You're here with Fred Kirsch, Paul Perillo, and Eric Scalavino. So what's it like to be the newest member of the Patriots Hall of Fame?
I'm still somewhat in shock, you know, because, you know, you never expected. I was happy, to be honest, just being mentioned with the likes of Bill Parcells and Raymond Claiborne. You know, Bill Parcells just got nominated, you know, inducted to the NFL Hall of Fame. So you think that it would be natural. Like, how could I, you know, beat out this guy or Raymond Claiborne? He was the guy I was chasing for so many years when I was playing because he had the record. So, you know, he wasn't there yet. So I figured it was just a natural progression where the great Bill Parcells, Raymond Claiborne, the guy that, you know, earned the right to be in there because he was the guy that I was chasing. Everybody was talking about Mike Haynes and everything, but I was chasing Raymond Claiborne because that's whose name that I seen at the top of the list on paper. You know what I mean? Yeah. Even though Mike Haynes was the perennial All-Pro, the Hall of Famer, but it was Raymond Claiborne who I set, you know, my eyes on as a goal for success because of his numbers.
Ty, can you even believe, you know, when you got here in 1995, and I know I talked to a lot of the guys that you got drafted with around that time, the state of this organization then as compared to now, just the fact that we're even talking about a Hall of Fame with a huge induction ceremony, and believe me, that place will be packed to listen to you talk come August. Can you even believe the growth of this organization during that time?
It's incredible. I mean, you couldn't write a better script or something like that, or it probably would be people wouldn't believe it. You know what I mean? Because it happened so fast, and you know the success that the Patriots organization has had since I've been there and beyond is unbelievable. I think that is the best franchise in sports, and it starts with Mr. Kraft by putting people in the right places, bringing in, you know, the talent, the coaches, and just surrounding it with positive energy. And I think you have to give all the credit in the world to Mr. Kraft and the Kraft family for making the organization what it is. You know, it's one thing to talk about us out there on the field and the guys that's making the plays and Coach Belichick, Tom Brady, but it starts with the Kraft family. And I'm so thankful that they gave me the opportunity to have a home when I entered the NFL draft. But the continued success that they have is unparalleled, you know, in the NFL. And yep. I don't care what you're talking about, the Steelers, what they did during their time and the Dallas Cowboys, but look at the level of consistency over a long period of time. You know, even though you might not have won the Super Bowl, but just the winning in itself is unbelievable.
Now, Ty, have they told you when the actual induction day will be yet?
August 1st.
August 1st. Okay. So I know the team goes out and invites all your teammates, but are there certain guys that, for you, they have to be there? Who's on your list?
I would say Otis Smith, Lawyer Malloy, Rodney Harrison, Troy Brown, Teddy Bruschi, those guys, Willie McGinnis.
Yep.
I would love to see those guys there. I would love to see, even though he's going to be out there practicing Tom Brady, you know what I mean? The guys on the, it's just so many, you know, guys that I can say that I had a very close personal relationship with, you know, both on and off the field. You know, anybody that I played with, I had a relationship with. But those, some of the guys that I just named, those were, you know, key.
Yep.
You know,
well,
for me.
Well, then, Ty, I'd imagine it's going to be a tough choice for you then to pick who your presenter is going to be.
I'm available.
You know what? I think that's not. I don't think that one is on me. Who's going to be my presenter? I think they're going to do that. But
you're not going to have any say in the matter, though.
Excuse me.
You're not going to have any say in the matter.
I don't know. This is all new to me too. I have no idea. So I'm just going to go along, and they let me know what's required of me, and then we'll go from there. But you know,
all right. Well, let me rephrase it then. If you had your choice, all things considered, who would you want to present you into the Patriots Hall of Fame?
I think it would be only. I honestly have to say, Mr. Kraft, because he gave me the opportunity. He believed in me, you know, from day one, and he's, you know, always, you know, been there for me even through some of the toughest times. He showed up, you know, which I will never forget. I would never honor me at the Boston Legends, and he was going through a tough time with his lovely wife, Miss Myra Kraft, when she was still here with us in the hospital. He took the time and left her her bedside to come and show up, you know, for the time that he did.
Yep.
For me, you know, so that meant the world to me right there, because he didn't have to do that, and I totally understood, you know, why.
Yep.
And he came anyway, so I mean, I think it would be only you know, fitting for, you know, Mr. Kraft to be able to go up there and, you know, introduce me and everything, because he gave me the opportunity. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have been a New England Patriot.
I got a feeling he'd be more than happy to do that.
Right.
Do you have you know, so many big games, so many great moments. Ty, anything stick out, you know, personal for you, moments? You know, the three interceptions of Peyton Manning, I have to imagine, is high on that list.
Yeah, I mean, it's high. And the Super Bowl, it was also a big moment. But I think to the masses, to the people, that's what's going to stick out, because they were in such significant games. But, you know, for me, each one of each game, each play, big play and moment has a special place in my heart, because at that time, that's what we needed. You know, at that time, we needed the three interceptions to get to the Super Bowl. At the time, we needed the interception to swing the game in our favor at the Super Bowl. You know, and I can go game by game and saying this moment was the moment. Mm. So, you know, for me, I cherish it all. And, of course, certain things, because it's the Super Bowl, is going to stick out to everybody, and you're going to see more pictures of that play than anything else. But they all hold a special place for me. And I'm glad that enough things happened to where, you know, I meet fans. They pick out different moments, which was their favorite Ty Law moment, Patriot moment, and that feels good.
All right, so, Ty, moving to a little bit more current day, there's another cornerback on the team now that you have a tie with back in Aliquippa. Have you had a chance to talk to Darrell Revis about, you know, being on the Patriots and,
oh, yeah,
and all that?
We was together all last night.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So
anything you can talk about?
Darrell, we have a close personal relationship, and, you know, we talk about football and life, but like I said, we go beyond the football field. I've been knowing the kid since he was, you know, 7, 8 years old. You know what I mean? So this is just not one of those things that, hey, you just happen to play the same position, the same same number. Like I said, we go way beyond before any of us ever thought about playing, you know, in the pros.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But it is, he's going to be a phenomenal player, and this is, you're finally going to see something that you haven't seen in a long time, you know, with Darrell Revis. He's that type of cornerback. He's that type of athlete, and he's going to make everyone else around him better, you know, not taking anything away from Aqib Talib, because I think he was a great player in himself, but it's very rare that you can get an opportunity to get a guy like Darrell and do the things that he can do. So I'm looking forward to it, and it's going to be exciting.
Yep.
Ty, what does he do? I know you, when you were nominated, you talked a lot about when you were with the Jets and how you saw right away how great Revis could be. What specifically stood out to you that told you that he was going to be as good as he is?
His attention to detail and practice habits. I mean, he was one of the few guys that always, you know, especially so young, to take practice that serious, even in walkthroughs. You know, you throw the ball, typically you let the receiver catch it. Darrell's the type of guy, he'll knock the ball down. He don't even want to make it a habit of you catching the ball and we doing something as simple as a walkthrough, you know. So, I mean, he's ultra-competitive, too. I mean, he hates to lose. For example, if you went out and one-on-one, if you got him, you know, the next person goes in line.
Yep.
Darrell's the type of guy that's like, hold on, wait, I got to get mine back. You know, let's go again.
Yep.
Instead of letting the next person go and just take the loss and wait till your turn come again. No, Darrell's going to be like, no, we're going to finish this. So whoever next, you're going to have to wait one more time.
Well, you know, there's all those great stories about how, you know, back when you were playing and Rodney and how you guys used to compete with Tom Brady, right. You know, defense versus offense. Do you see a lot of that in Revis? And how will he interact, you think, with Tom Brady in practice?
I think he's going to be fine. I mean, we did used to compete like that, and I mean, it was a different era, but that's what we did. Darrell, he's a self-motivated guy. I think that, you know, just in there and get a feel for the guy, they're probably going to, you know, do the same thing and have a competition, is talking, you know, all in good fun,
right,
with Tom talking trash out there, you know, because it brings out the best in everybody. But as long as you're trying to achieve the same thing and the goal is to win a championship, it never gets personal. But we had to, because if I made a play, Otis had to make one. If Otis had to make a play, Lawyer had to make a play. And then it just went around. It was contagious, you know, throughout the whole defense. You know what I mean? And I'm quite sure Darrell is going to fit in just fine as long as you have the core guys and that can lead that defense, because you already set on offense. You have Tom Brady over there, and everyone's going to follow his lead. They need somebody like Darrell on the defense so they can look at him as an example, mm-hmm, to follow. And he's the, you know, the consummate professional, how he approaches the game, how he approaches work every day. And I think this is a much-needed asset, you know, for the Patriots and their defense.
Ty, I always wanted to ask you guys that were around for both. What are the differences between playing for Parcells and Belichick?
Parcells, I think Coach Belichick, first of all, was more of an X's and O's type of guy. He motivates in a different way. Coach Parcells, he got into your head mentally. You know, he played mind. He was seeing what you're made of. He tried to get the best out of you, even if he might not have thought you had that much talent, but he's going to get it out of you in some other way. Coach Belichick is going to do everything possible from a X's and O's standpoint to put you in the right position to where if you fail, that's totally on you, because I gave you everything that you needed to know, and this was going to happen at this time. You know what I mean? Expect this. And I will say this about Coach Belichick, which was awesome. He's like, look, in this situation, this is going to happen. You take it. If something else happened, it's on me. And it gave you the most confidence in the world to say, you said, if he's going to run this route right now and I can jump it, and he going to run it out, but if he run it out and up and get me, you going to take the blame? Okay, that's awesome. Okay, so I guess he's not, I said, I'm not giving up the out. If I see this formation, Bill, damn it, I'm jumping it. You know, right, what I mean? And so he gives you that type of sense of comfort when you're out there playing with him, and because he really studies.
But,
he studies the game.
But, Ty, you never freelance, though, right?
You always knew what you were doing.
I think everybody does.
I know you did.
I probably did a little more often than others, but Coach Belichick, he let me go out there and do my thing. You know, he wouldn't. I remember he told Asante Samuel in a certain situation. He said, "You know what? You better not try that."
Right.
He said, "You don't do that."
Well, I think that's a sign of respect that he had for you,
right,
because there's not many players that he would allow to do that and be on the team. Mm. And so that right there says everything. So, Ty, I want to thank you again for calling in, and once again congratulate you. This is a big honor. The fans are excited, and we'll see you here on August 1st.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, man.
All right, Ty.
Thanks, Ty. Congratulations.
Yep.
Ty Law, Patriots Hall of Famer.
The best thing about Ty Law is you don't need to have a lot of questions in the satchel.
No, no.
One or two will do.
Yeah, he'll get going. So that's good. Good for him.
Love Ty.
Yep. All right. So we should continue here. We were talking about the Hall of Fame and, you know, what our different requirements are, you know, to get into a Hall of Fame. Nat in Santa Cruz, California writes in, "It's a Hall of Fame, not a Hall of Great. Therefore, it should matter most what a player or coach means to the franchise and fan base and how people remember him, but not necessarily the number of how many wins he was a part of or whether he was here for a Super Bowl. Parcells, to most intelligent fans, was completely instrumental to the rebirth of the Patriots. That's why we're all still glued to the TV whenever he appears anywhere or makes a move with any other organization. He's like a former president we loved and still want to watch. Clinton comes to mind. Matt Light over Parcells? People will remember Parcells for years and years. I doubt you can say the same for Matt Light. Love listening to you guys get into it. I grew up in Cambridge and live in California now. Hearing three angry New Englanders talk over each other really brings me home. Keep up the good work. There's one fan who thinks that Parcells would be a slam dunk over Matt Light. I think he would, too.
I don't think he will be.
Yeah,
that's a good point that the emailer makes.
And I think also when you're
talking
about
the name Parcells more than they'll remember Light.
And when you're talking about Matt Light, you're talking 10 years from now. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot of guys that are going to be coming off that are, I think, going to be slam dunks like Ty Law was.
Well, you guys that vote on it, on not voting on the final winner, but on the nominees, you could rig it so that...
Well, you know, but is that fair?
No, but, you know, things happen.
I pick three guys that I think are most deserving. Now, I can't speak for the other 20-some-odd guys on the committee.
20 years ago, more Patriots fans knew about Raymond Claiborne than they do now.
Right.
You know?
Right.
20 years from now, I think more people are going to recognize the name Bill Parcells than Matt Light.
Now, the Patriots don't have a senior committee, right? Do you think they need to
do
that?
They do.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
But
they don't do it every year.
Right. So eventually, a guy like Raymond Claiborne or Chuck Fairbanks could get in that way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that they should do coaches separate, which would also eliminate a bit of a problem. Coaches and contributors.
Yeah.
You know, they put Billy Sullivan in. I don't think he deserves to be in. I think he was a horrific owner. I mean, all he did was bring football to Boston, to which I would say someone else would have.
Mm.
You know, I mean, Boston was too big of a market not to have a major.
There's nothing he did that someone else couldn't have done.
You know, so when he was here, I give him credit because he tried, but he just didn't have the money. He didn't have the resources to do it. And it was a constant contract hassle every single season in the 70s. Those great teams in the 70s were ruined by off-field crap.
It's not like an owner now. If you can't do it today, you have no business acumen because the money comes to you. Back then, it was a little different. You had to be a shrewd businessman and already have some of your own money that you were willing to spend. And Sullivan had neither. He was a PR guy, right?
Yeah, and he was like part of the whole.
He was public relations for Standard Oil.
AFL thing. What they call him, the Fools Club. What was the name? They had a name for them because none of them really. Kind of took a flyer.
Yeah.
They didn't really have the money. I mean, Lamar Hunt obviously did, but a lot of those guys really were ill-equipped to be professional sports owners, and they risked a lot. They did, and Billy Sullivan risked a lot, but he just didn't. He wasn't a good owner, and you know, again, you get into this whole Okay, so he was kind of the founder of the Patriots. All right. Someone else would have done it.
Yeah. Pat and Agawam, Parcells absolutely belongs in the Team Hall of Fame. Yeah, his overall record with the Patriots was 500, but he turned a perennial laughingstock into a competitive team, an eventual legitimate championship contender. Any fickle fan who says otherwise needs to get over it and themselves. That is all. So, there you go.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I feel. But you know, if you feel like you were betrayed by Parcells and that he was always looking out for himself, I can't argue with you on that. I think that your feelings are your feelings. I mean, I understand why some people don't like him and why people don't think he should be in the Hall of Fame. I agree with that email. That's how I feel about it. From watching this team and living and dying with it, even in some of those really bad times. He saved it. They finally had a guy that I didn't look at and say, what the hell are we doing? You know, had a guy that was in charge that understood how to win.
And you weren't alone because as you saw the day after that was announced, the line at the ticket office was down the street.
And then when Mr. Kraft came in the following year and everybody knew they weren't going to St. Louis, they set the record for whatever amount of season ticket holders that they had when Robert bought the team. that's when you finally said, hey, maybe we can do this.
Yeah.
You know, and they finally turned the corner and didn't get hit with a Mack truck, which was what happened all the time. You know, they'd have that 11-5 season. You'd be like, okay, we're getting there. And then, you know, John Hanna and Leon Gray would hold out the next year and they would go, you know, 8-8 or whatever
it was.
You
know, people don't know when Kraft bought the team, like a day or two afterwards, you know, one of his first orders of business, obviously, was to talk to Bill Parcells. You know, I'm the new owner. And it was a call on one of those squawk boxes, and Parcells says, yeah, I don't know if I want to keep coaching. I'm not sure if I really want to do this. And he was kind of feeling Kraft out. And, you know, Kraft was like, what do you mean? And so they had this conversation, and, you know, Kraft, quote unquote, talked him into continuing to be the coach. But
it's a power
you know,
struggle.
Yeah, it was. From day one.
you know, Bill wanted to see, you know, this is what I had with Orthwine. What am I going to have with you?
Right. Right. And, you know, it goes back to when Belichick was supposed to take over the Jets from Bill Parcells. You know, there was a new ownership going on there because I think Hess had died or something like that, and there was some sort of new ownership or something. And Belichick was like, I'm not staying here.
Was that when Woody took over?
It might have been, yeah. You know, he was like, I'm not sure of this situation. I'm not staying here.
Yeah.
You know? So coaches like to have their own destiny just as much as owners do. Let's see. Nathan, Rhode Island, has an interesting email. He says, hello, gentlemen, and Paul. I have to ask you guys a question. After listening to 98.5, what does the Patriots way mean as of today? Is it the same as the late 90s, early 2000s, or has the Patriots organization morphed into a place that anyone, including an alleged serial killer, can come in hopes of turning their life around, and if so, has it worked? I mean, that's a whole big conversation about what is the Patriots way, and really, is there a Patriots way?
I think there is, and I think players who come here will tell you that it's different here than it is at other organizations. And part of that, I think, has to do with the fact that they've won some Super Bowls. I mean, it's hard to have a certain way of doing things if you're not successful doing them.
Yeah.
You know? But I do think it's different, and I think a lot of the players really say that.
I think Belichick is different, and I think his way of, you know, organizing a team is maybe and probably a little different than a lot of other teams. But every team has a way, you know, and I think there's a lot of different ways that can be successful.
But also, a lot of teams don't have the consistency of having that way in place. That
absolutely,
they do here.
And I think that's part of. It's hard to develop a way if you're changing coaches every 2-3 years.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that they've had the same guy since 2000, you can't undervalue the importance of that. That consistency.
No doubt.
I totally agree with you. And I this might be another semantic argument. I don't necessarily look at the Patriot way as being anything. What the Patriots are is extremely well coached. They're extremely well organized. The difference, the things that are different is Belichick is a better coach than 99.9% of the guys that come from somewhere else, and they don't have the attention to detail in training camp. They don't have the structure that Bill provides in terms of the offseason and the things that are, you know, how they implement their they don't have all of the game plan type mantra that the Patriots have. They're extremely well coached. I don't think it's we're looking for a certain kind of guy. That's a Patriot kind of guy.
Right.
I think that is vastly overblown.
But I do think they.
I think there's certain attributes that they look for that any good
football
player has. Football's important.
Football's
to
important.
Them.
It's all coaching to me.
I do also think that they look for a guy who. I think they have the discussion with him when he comes here. Look, this is how we deal with certain things. You know, the media, for example. You have to agree to our rules regarding how you talk to the media. This isn't like some other team you might have been on where you can say whatever you want at any time. You follow the rules here. You stick to you toe the line.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the Patriot
way.
But
for a long time, I think, well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I was also going to say, it also philosophically, how they acquire these players is different, I think, than other organizations. Some organizations might like to spend what they consider, you know, the big money contracts to lure talent and build a team that way, whereas this team, I think, is more focused on trying to get what they call the value players.
Yep, in economics.
And maybe get one or two of those high-priced players when they can.
But
that's part of the way, too, I think.
One of the myths, I think, that is just not true about the Patriots' way is, oh, we only take certain types of character guys. That's just – they've always taken risks on guys that have problems in the past. They've always done that, and they should, you know. We're all about second chances, and a lot of these guys make mistakes as college kids or sometimes even earlier, come from different backgrounds, different perspectives. You know, you didn't walk in their shoes, and I think that any team that says, you know, we're only going to take a certain type of character guy is making a big mistake. I don't think the Patriots ever really did that.
And
I really don't.
But I do think that they have talked about that in the past, and I don't think they have talked like that.
Well, once you're here.
But I don't think they've talked like that. And when I say they, I mean the entire organization from the very top right on down through the coaches and whatnot. I don't think that they talk in those terms as much as they once did.
No.
And I think they're right not to. Because I do think, I agree with you guys, it's the Patriot way to me is it kind of starts and ends with Belichick. It's about how he prepares his players and the kinds of players that he wants to fit into his system. As Eric pointed out, if you want to come in and be the flashiest guy and get the biggest contract, or if you want to come in, you're an outspoken guy, you want to be controversial, this probably isn't the place for you. That's not the Patriots' way. So if you want to be the guy who's creating headlines in the newspapers or bitching about playing time, you don't want to be here. But to me, that's all coaching. That's not character.
Right. Right.
You know, and I think that Patriot Way is deemed to be some sort of character.
Yeah.
You know, this is the kind of player, character-wise, we're looking for, and I don't necessarily think that.
All right. We're going to take a rare second break. Food's here. We had Ty Law, so we had to do some things there. But we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We have people hanging on the phone, Jeff in Vegas, Eldridge, Dave in Connecticut, a lot more emails right after this.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
We are boring to tears, young Benjamin. He was just asleep on his mom's shoulder.
He's hungry.
He's probably hungry.
Ben, are you hung?
Hungry.
Hungry. Oh, God. Don't.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah.
You should know hungry? I got a little wiener.
Thanks, the Heffernans for.
Heffernans.
I was going to say Heffern Reffer, but that's a. All right, we'll see you on. See you next Tuesday.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Just eating lunch here.
There are those third quarter numbers again, Fred.
Some of it just came back up. Ty Law joined us earlier. Thanks for that. If you missed him, you can hear it on the replay on patriots.com. We did have an emailer earlier write in who was wondering how far back we get in our archives on patriots.com. Because he goes on iTunes, and I think you only get like 2 or 3 years back. I think we go as far as 2005 on patriots.com. So
you can't find the original premiere broadcast?
No, I mean, it's out there somewhere, but it's not on the site. But he wanted to go back to some of the draft shows and listen to
We don't need any of that.
When we drafted Gronkowski and things like that.
Well, Gronkowski, Indy almost had a out-of-body experience.
Yep. Let's go to the
I can tell you what I said when Richard Seymour was drafted. I resigned.
You said you resigned, right? We had some good battles back then. Brian Morey was on the show. Paul and
Brian was always telling me and Fred how we were wrong about everything.
Paul and Brian had some epic battles.
He still does when he comes up to your office.
We did. I told Fred the other day, we had Brian and I had an old school. I went in to tell Fred when he got back. I go, you missed it. It was a little bit of a flashback to like 2003.
Oh, yeah. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eldridge in North Carolina is first up. Hey, Eldridge.
How y'all doing?
Great.
Okay. I think Bill should be in there. Bill Parcells. Should be a slam dunk. He should have been. His biggest regret was leaving New England. So, you know, this team always fight him in the butt. But I think he should be there. And other than I'd ask y'all is how the rookies looking. Because ESPN and NFL network to everybody else camp but New England. So how are we?
They haven't had a camp.
They haven't had a camp yet, Eldridge. Doesn't start till next Tuesday.
No, next Tuesday. No wonder they show nobody yet.
Right.
But I'm getting tired of seeing Washington and Buffalo, and they might overseas New England. They try to say. You know,
no, they haven't. They haven't. I mean, the rookies have had a couple of, and I'm doing quotes, practices.
Yeah, they've been out there, but we haven't been able to watch.
But that's not really, you know, that's not, that wasn't made available to us, so it's not going to be made available to anyone.
Yeah, right now they're here just doing conditioning and stuff with the Patriots strength and conditioning coaches. Next year they'll, you know, do some helmet and shorts type drills.
And I think we have access next week, right?
Yes.
One day next week. So you stick with Patriots.com, Eldridge. We'll keep you informed. So as long as you're on Patriots.com, you'll know what's going on.
Yeah, I got your app, so I'll keep it up. I'll keep looking at it and go back and do the podcast when I can, when I'm driving.
Okay.
You know.
All right.
So I do that. All right. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Eldridge. Let's go to Jeff in Vegas. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I thought I'd chime in. Couple things. Those were some real good questions for Ty there. There were some good nuggets, I thought, especially comparing Parcells to Belichick. That was very interesting.
I thought that was a brilliant question.
OTS, yes. Missouri.
I was surprised, you know, that you bring that up, Kevin. I was surprised how much affection he had for Otis. Because he played with a lot of, I mean, the other guys he played with, obviously Lawyer and Rodney, like, surprised he was as complimentary to Otis as he was.
Yeah, well, one common denominator with Otis was he made plays. So it was good to hear Ty's talking to Revis about making plays. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, I was going to say, Otis was involved in some big games for the Patriots. Yep.
He was, and he also had a pick and a nice return in Super Bowl 36, as I recall.
Okay, I'll leave that to Paul because I know he had a good game here to get them to the Super Bowl.
And didn't he take one back against Jacksonville?
That's what I'm talking about.
That was a fumble. That was a fumble recovery.
He picked up a fumble.
He recovered a fumble against Jacksonville in 96, his first time.
Yep.
Here when he came back, I believe he did have a pick in the Rams
in the Rams game.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think he did have a
him
a
and
pick in that game.
The other old guy at corner,
Terrell Buckley.
Yeah. At the end of the first half.
I think Terrell Buckley might have been a fumble recovery.
I think you're right, actually. Yeah.
But I think that Otis and Ty both had picks in the Rams Super Bowl, and obviously Ty returned his touchdown.
Yeah, and I think Buckley had a pick in that first regular season game against the Rams that they didn't win but competed in.
Yep. That was the game that they could show that they could play with anyone. Yep.
Wow, you guys are all with it today. I think
24-17.
Yes.
They carried three Rams off the field that game.
And I think the nice thing about...
In a game that, in all honesty, was not nearly as close as the score indicated.
Oh, that was a great year. And back to, Parcells and Belichick, what's nice about Belichick is, relative to Parcells, you don't have to go through that every year when Parcells would drive to Florida and have to decide if he was going to coach.
That's true.
At least you know Belichick's going to be there. And even drafting Garoppolo, at least you know Bill's, you know, committed for another 4 or 5 years, you would think, minimum.
That's true. That used to frustrate me to no end. It really did.
Oh, yeah.
Because I like Parcells, and I wanted him to be here, and it was just like...
It's a good point, because Belichick, you've not had 1 second wasted wondering if he's coaching next year.
Right.
And by the time Parcells got good here with New England, you were already wondering... Is this because he was coming off the health thing? He was retired, then he came back, and how long is he going to be able to do this? And then you learn later about all the other stuff that Fred's talking about in terms of I don't know if I want to do this anymore, and the power stuff, the behind the scenes stuff. You never had to deal with any of that with Belichick. Now, part of the reason for that is Belichick has total control,
right?
So he doesn't need to fight for the control because Belichick already has it.
But you trust him with it.
Oh, well, we can save that for an argument for another show.
Well, you know, with Bill Parcells, is he really thinking about your future? Or is he just thinking about his? And as a guy that you give the keys to the castle, you need to make sure that he has your best interests in mind.
And he did the same thing to the Jets, and then again to the Cowboys, and then what you think of someone like Curtis Martin, who sort of devoted himself to Parcells, and then Parcells left and went on to something different, even to Curtis Martin. Talking about the Patriots way, the first thing I really think about is that Super Bowl 36 when they all came out together and the introduction. I mean, that really, I think, stood for something. I agree, though, as far as the character of the players, did you guys get a wind of this new Keys Richardson receiver that had committed the robbery at Tennessee?
Yes.
That they gave the tryout to? I guess he's supposed to be pretty talented from what I hear.
We'll see. I mean, I haven't really seen much of him play. I think he's been at three different schools. And we'll see if he's out there when we get a chance to see next week, when we get a chance to watch him. Eric and I will be out there, and we'll give you our our Andy Hart-like knee-jerk reaction.
I think any team that looks at a kid's past and says, we're not going to take him because he did X, you know, obviously depending on what that X is, I think they're making a big mistake if they rule people out without fully understanding the kid, letting him come in, meet him, look at, you know, do your homework in as thoroughly as you can. And I don't think any team rules, you know, players out just, you know, black and white reasons. I think you have to.
I think some teams do when it comes to the draft. I think some teams will say he's not on our board.
Well, yeah, but that's different than, you know, because there's other players to choose from of equal value, and it's like, okay. But, you know, when you're talking about these undrafted free agents and bringing guys in,
yeah, but
for
you don't
tryouts,
think there's the same decision to be made? I mean, you think that was the only receiver that was out
there? No, but I think that, you know, you weigh it all. And if
I agree with the way you said it, and that you look at it and you figure out if it's worth it. But I would definitely take guys off my board.
Yeah, but not like you.
Not sight unseen.
No. But
I don't think anybody does that.
I think there's certain things you just take them off, and I think, but when a kid has phenomenal talent and, you know, he has a questionable past, you say, okay, because of this talent, we're going to look into this past. We're not going to just erase him. And then you make your decision based on that study. You don't just discard him.
But after that, I can still take him off my board.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what teams do. I think the teams that have them off their board, some teams have different things that are buzzwords for them that are, he's out. Yeah. Or, yeah, I can live with that. Other teams have different thresholds.
But usually the guy that's out, it's just because his talent isn't good enough to overcome any problems you had with him. Right?
No, I would agree. For the most part, if talent generally is going to trump all.
Yeah.
Yep. And you have to acknowledge the, like, fearlessness of Belichick, that even after the Hernandez one-year anniversary, that, you know, he's not going to, he is going to do what he feels can make the team better. He's not afraid to,
I think also what the action shows is the Hernandez thing was an anomaly. It was like something that just came out of left field, and really we got, you know, we had no idea, and it wasn't necessarily just an organizational breakdown that we had. And so we are going to, you know, we relook at that and look at the way we evaluate, but at the end of the day, you trust your system. And so, yeah, I mean, you're not going to do anything drastic like rule people out now that, you know, you wouldn't have ruled out before Hernandez.
No, but might you have ruled out, couldn't you have looked at Hernandez in college and just as easily said all those things about the Patriots and said the Patriots decided to rule him out?
I think there were a lot of teams that did say that.
I'm not, that's my point.
Yeah, but I think that you'd be dumb to do that.
But I don't think that you rule him out the next time because of Hernandez.
That's what I'm saying.
That would be dumb.
Yeah, you don't.
You rule him out the next time because all the same things I saw with Hernandez, this guy has.
Right.
And I'm not going to go down that road again.
I hear that. You know, the gang.
That's all
gang
I'm saying.
Gang ties, things like that. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, a lot of it's case by case. You look at like Kenny Britt, or again, back his day, Christian Peter.
Yeah, Kenny Britt is stupid if you don't learn from
Kenny Britt is a guy, Jeff, that I would have definitely ruled out. I would have taken him right out. Mm-hmm. No chance. That many arrests, no chance.
We said that at the time, too.
No, I know. And, you know, listen, some people agreed with us and some people didn't. But, you know, I agree with Fred. You don't do it sight unseen. You don't do it without doing your homework. You do your due diligence and you figure out what you want to do. But I do think that there's a time and a place to walk away from a guy. And I think that can be in the best interest of your team.
Sure.
To show your team, listen, you want to be like that, to get back to our Patriots way thing. If you want to do those things, if those things are important to you, if you want to knock over a gas station, like this guy allegedly did, go ahead and do it. But you're not going to be part of this organization. If that's the kind of fun you want to have on Friday night, okay. Sometimes you send a message to the guys that are already on your team with your decisions. And that's why I think it's a fine line. It's not an easy process.
All right, Jeff, thanks for the call. Let's go to Dave in Connecticut. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
Pretty good.
Doing good.
I just want to congratulate Ty. It was a nice interview. And thank him for what he did for your organization. You know, and you're on the topic of Parcells being there at home, I think, you know, I agree with you guys. Said when he did come here as the head coach, it brought legitimacy to this team, okay? And as a fan, you know, it was like, wait a minute, now we're in the NFL. We're no longer the laughing stock of the NFL, okay?
That's and, how you know, I felt, Dave, exactly.
You know, and I understand there was some bitterness on the way he left, okay? Like, he had that statement, you know, well, if they let you buy the groceries, they should at least let you cook the dinner or something like that. You know, and I think, you know, he came out maybe last year, the year before, and he said that
crap.
He regretted the way things transpired, and if he had to do it over again, you know, things might be a little bit different.
Yeah.
He did bring us that legitimacy, so I think he definitely belongs in the Hall of Fame. I mean, he was, you know, a major changing part of the organization.
Yeah, I don't think there's anywhere near the animosity between those two parties as there once was. I think they've both publicly, at least, and I don't know what they talk about privately. Obviously, we're not privy to that, but publicly, they've both said that they've made mistakes have wished that things had turned out differently and some things had been handled differently. And I take them both at face value, both Mr. Kraft and Bill Parcells. I think both made mistakes, and I think they both would like to do things a little bit differently. And I think that Fred brings up a good point with Belichick, and I think part of that is Kraft recognized the importance of giving the head coach a little bit more room to operate and do what he needed to do. And I think that he was able to do that with Belichick because of what he had learned from Parcells.
And you know, it's a fascinating argument to have, and I think we might have actually started having this argument on one show, would be, if things had been done differently, if Parcells had stayed, would the franchise have ever won a Super Bowl?
Yeah. I mean, I could make an argument they could have won 8.
Right.
You know? With Bledsoe?
No. With Parcells.
For you guys.
With Parcells and Bledsoe? Or with Parcells and someone else?
I don't know. Maybe it was Parcells and Brady.
Because I wonder if Brady even gets picked.
Right.
I'm certainly not going to say that Brady wouldn't have gotten picked based on the fact that they took him 199th. Now, if they had took Brady, if they had taken Brady in the first round when no one else saw it, that's different. But I mean, he was a late sixth round pick.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
So there's no reason to say that.
I wonder what would have happened with
they wouldn't have.
Here's another question. Belichick may have
been here with him.
Yeah.
Here's another question for you guys. A little off topic, but you know, talking about the draft and the signing of the unrestricted free agents that we've signed. What would you give us as a grade without really seeing these guys on the field at this point?
I don't like to do that.
C+.
I really don't.
It's so hard.
Yeah, C+.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
I would agree with Fred, and I don't mind grades. It's just really hard with this particular class because it's so much, to me, geared to the future.
Yeah.
Right.
It's tied to the future.
One more question. What do you guys think of, like, maybe a mallet for a Johnson break? I know they probably want more than just Mallett.
Well, of course they do.
Not probably. They want more than Mallett for Andre Johnson.
Any sane person would.
You know, maybe Mallett, like, in a second-round pick?
I would do that.
I would, too.
Dave. Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard much more about those rumors since the weekend. Have you?
I have not.
No.
Now, I know they keep talking about how
it's still out there, but
Houston doesn't necessarily want to let him go. And O'Brien spoke right out of the Belichick, you know, handbook about talking about the players that are here, and he's done nothing, you know. So you know, I don't think they have any desire to get rid of him. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. John in South Carolina writes in, I can appreciate what Parcells did for us, and I understand just how important he was to the Patriots. However, he made me work really hard to appreciate it. I simply cannot get over the crap that came up around the Super Bowl. I cannot escape the feeling he could have made it better. Instead of appreciating the Super Bowl and getting excited, everything was about him leaving. I don't blame him alone for the loss of the Super Bowl, but I do blame him for taking that excitement away and making it dirty. I can see him getting in the Hall of Fame, but not up against Law, not up against any other player from that team or any of the other Super Bowl teams. That's just my feeling on it. So you and Paul are agree. Now for a game. Cut one, sign one, trade one.
Love games.
All right.
All players
cut one, side one,
trade one.
All players have a 2-year contract at their current yearly salary.
Cut one, sign one.
Cut, sign, trade. Brady, Gronk, Revis. Brady, Gronk, Revis. Cut, sign, trade.
Brady, Gronk, Revis.
Boy.
That's tough.
I would sign Gronk.
I wouldn't. I would cut Gronk.
Sign,
yes.
Gronk.
I would cut Gronk.
I would sign
trade
Gronk.
Brady and sign Revis.
I think I'm with you, Paul. I would
that's
trade
a
Brady.
Ridiculously hard one, though.
It is.
That's what makes it a good game. Good job by you, John.
I would sign Gronk because I think he'll be fine.
Okay. Paul. Wow, look at the role reversal. No. Eric is the voice of optimism. I think everything's going to be fine, says Eric.
I would. I would trade Revis and cut Brady.
See, I think trading Brady gets you the most value.
Well, if I thought that Gronk were healthy, then I don't want to trade him anyway.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? I want to keep him if I thought he were healthy.
Yeah.
I don't think he's healthy, so I don't think I'm going to get much for him trading. So I'm going to trade Brady because of what you just said. And then I'll cut Gronk because I don't think he's healthy.
Right.
And maybe I can re-sign Revis. He's younger than Brady. Yeah.
Same thing. Cut, sign, trade. Connolly, Cannon, Stork.
Connolly, Cannon, Stork.
Mm.
Wow. I would cut Connolly, trade Cannon, keep Stork.
Yeah, problem.
Yeah, sign Stork.
I'm not going to lie. You could throw all three of those in a different, and I wouldn't really move my needle. I don't really.
All right, maybe a little tougher.
Cut Cannon.
Mayo, Hightower, or Collins?
Mayo, Hightower, Collins. I would keep Collins.
Sign Collins.
Trade Mayo, cut Hightower.
Okay. And finally.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Wow.
Finally, last one. Wilfork, Jones, or Browner?
Wilfork, Jones, Browner. Keep Jones.
Keep Jones.
Cut Wilfork,
cut
trade
Wilfork
Browner.
And trade Browner. Okay. Yeah.
Might be able to get something for Browner. Mm.
Okay. That's a good one.
Yep.
Let's see.
The cut trade thing is kind of. You try to wait and see who's the better player. What can you get more?
Yeah.
Who's younger?
Yeah.
Cattell writes in and says, do you guys think Bill Belichick has a chance of breaking Don Shula's record of winning the most games in their career and becoming the best coach in the NFL? I think he drafted Jimmy Garoppolo, and if he develops like TB12 and gets 10 wins each year, then he could.
How many years would he have to do? I don't really know the numbers.
Yeah, how far away is Belichick from Shula?
Shula is
quite a bit.
Isn't
Shula
it like 200 wins?
Yeah, Bill has like 200, and Shula has 364, I think.
Yeah, I don't think.
Or 367. It's one of those. It's one of those.
That'd
weird
be
numbers.
That'd be awfully hard.
Yeah. Yep. But
see,
now that's different than
Shula,
just saying who's the best coach ever. And I think Belichick is in the running.
Oh, I don't
for
even
that.
Think Shula's top five.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds silly, but I don't. Shula won a lot of games as a very young man, and that's why that record is out of reach, in my opinion. Unless Belichick really throws us a curveball and decides to coach for 20 more years.
Yeah.
And I just don't see it happening.
Which he has said he won't do.
He has continuously said that he wouldn't do that.
Yep. Tim writes in, with Ty Law now in the Patriots Hall of Fame, who are some first-year eligible players next year?
First-year eligible next year? I don't know. I know that you have McGinnis and Harrison are going to be up
but
again.
But they were eligible this year.
Right. I don't know who first year eligible is next year. Let's see. This is 14,
5 years, right?
Matt Light?
Four.
Is Matt Light up?
No, because 2010
13,
he retired
12, 11,
after,
10.
After the 10 season.
He retired after 11. He went to the Super Bowl.
After 11, you're right. Yeah, sorry.
But you only need 4 years.
Anybody after 2010? Anybody retire after the 2010 season?
Tim Tebow?
lead balloon.
Let's get to some other emails at webradiopatriots.com. John says, yo, two things.
Yo.
I was thrilled to hear that Stork wasn't the nicest guy in the world. I don't want nice guys in my team. It's football, for Christ's sake. I want a bunch of on-field bullies because those are the types of teams, Giants, Jets, Ravens, we often lose to in the playoffs. We need more players with attitude and an intimidation factor. Yeah, Eric. So we don't want nice guys.
I don't think anybody's saying anything about Stork the player. Did they?
No.
I mean, no. If he can play, he can play. Who cares?
Next year, for the first two rounds of the draft, turn your phones off so you can't read tweets and learn the picks as they are announced in real time. It will make for a much better and more organized show.
Don't tell us what to do.
It's just a suggestion. It's not a bad suggestion.
Angry Eric is back, baby.
No.
That's a pretty good observation.
We didn't tip the picks. We didn't.
Some of us didn't.
You know, I don't know. Yeah, well, listen.
I'm talking about Andy.
You're asking us to just completely shut off.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
We have some stuff to do. We're trying to be prepared. I will say that I thought it was garbage the way it was going down. In terms of the guys who, quote-unquote, weren't tweeting, couldn't help themselves, but let everybody know they knew what the picks were, but weren't going to say what they were. It was kind of immature. You know what I mean?
Yep. Andrew writes in, with Ty Law being voted into the Patriots Hall of Fame for 2014, who on the current roster has the potential to reach the Hall of Fame, excluding the obvious choices such as Brady? Thank you guys for another awesome show. Who on the current team, aside from Brady,
Will Fork
gets it into the Patriots
Gronk.
Hall of Fame?
Yeah, Gronk, Will Fork.
Mankins.
Gronk, if he ended right now, would he?
He didn't say that.
I know. I'm just saying.
He just said who on the team. If Gronk ended right now, like he never played another game, I would still put him in the Hall.
Really?
He's the best tight end of all time.
Because that's telling me that his career ended because of injury.
Yeah.
And based on what he's done so far, he's a Hall of Famer.
The best tight end of all time.
Will Fork, Mayo?
No. Just piling up a bunch of tackles doesn't do it for me.
Does Mankins, Solder have the ability, the potential to get there?
Solder?
Nate Solder.
If you have Matt Light in, I would have Solder in. I think they're very similar.
Right.
But Locks, I would say no.
That's pretty much it. Will Fork?
You know, who knows what happens with Revis if he's able to play like 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
I think that's a long shot, obviously.
Okay.
Who else?
I can't see.
Chandler Jones has the potential.
Chandler Jones would, I think, have a chance.
But he's got a, you know.
Yeah, he's got a long way to go.
Yeah.
You know, Vereen.
Does a guy like Ninkovich get in on Vrabel?
But Vrabel did a lot more than Ninkovich.
Yeah.
I mean.
Loved Ninkovich, but
he's got a lot of catching. Love the Nink, but I don't think that he's Vrabel.
I don't think he's got it.
Okay. All right.
And who knows? Maybe Vrabel doesn't get in.
Maybe.
I'd be surprised if he doesn't.
Let's see. So I read
Teddy
that
Bruschi's
one.
In.
But the
Vrabel should be in. He's twice the player.
Mike writes from Rancho Cucamonga, California. My question is, do we redshirt easily for a year and give one more of the many defensive tackles we have a chance to make the starting roster or get them out there ASAP and try to win it all this year?
You get him out there as soon as he's healthy.
Yeah.
With any player, not just him.
Yeah. But, I mean, especially a first-round pick that has the talent to make a difference, I think. And I expect him to be healthy. He tore his ACL, I want to say September 24th.
Late September, yeah.
And so he's had a lot. I mean, if you think Gronk is going to be part of the equation this year, there's no reason to think that Easley won't.
By the way, Belichick has 215 wins. Shula has 347. So it's a
little closer than I thought.
It's a difference of 132.
A little closer. I thought it was closer to 200. So that's a little closer than I thought.
That's still 10, a long 10 time. Years of 13 wins
that's,
a year.
That's another 10 years anyway.
Mm. Yeah. That's a lot.
You know, 10. Well, he's got a shot, though, because he wins more than 10. That's 13 years, by the way, 10 years.
Strippers sent us some breaking news. Retired NFL players say in lawsuit that league illegally used painkillers to mask injuries. This is coming out of Washington. A group of retired NFL players say in a lawsuit that the league illegally supplied them with risky painkillers that numbed their injuries and led to medical complications. Attorney Steven Silverman says his firm filed the lawsuit Tuesday in federal court in San Francisco. The lawsuit takes aim at what it calls the league's culture of drug misuse. It says drugs were used to speed players return to the field and maximize profits. Some of the guys on the lawsuit, Richard Dent and Jim McMahon, are named on the lawsuit. Players say they weren't told about broken bones and instead were fed pills and injections to mask pain.
It alleges they weren't told about broken bones?
Broken bones.
I don't believe that.
Well, that's what they're saying.
I mean, obviously the other stuff is, you know, football commonplace.
Peter in Northern Ireland.
Broken bone.
Great show as usual. Wanted to give you guys a quick shout-out for helping me through my university dissertation. Having your inane babble in the background seems to help me write. Crazy, I know. Anyway, I have a quick game for you guys and Eric. If you had to pick 11 Patriots to play an Iron Man game, like we have too regularly in Ireland, who would it be? For example, if you take Brady for QB, he has to play somewhere on defense.
Yeah, you can hide him at safety.
Two-way.
Yeah, you'd have to have Brady out there. So,
yeah. Do we really want to play this game?
Yeah, I'm not really all that interested.
Sorry, Peter, but I don't feel like playing.
I mean, you'd basically have a lot of wide receivers and defensive backs because they're the most athletic guys.
Yep.
And then you'd have to have linemen on both sides of the ball. You just pick, you know.
Wilfork could play both sides.
I think Wilfork could probably play both sides. Mankins, I think Mankins could probably play both sides.
Connor
Chandler Jones.
Yep.
Chandler Jones be a tight end. Yep. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Connor from all over says, the draft shows were so good, I subscribed to the iPad app Patriots Football Daily. Not a big reader, so I probably won't use it much. That's how great the show was. Not much else going on, just saying thanks. Well, thank you.
Yeah. And try to read a little more.
It's good for you.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you don't want to be an illiterate like me.
Yeah. Let's see. Junior from Dorchester. I don't know if anyone mentioned this, but I thought it was interesting that when Goodell called the Dominic Easley pick, he said defensive end, not defensive tackle. Since the teams are the ones who designate the position, it could provide some insight into how the Patriots intend to use him. Since defensive end pass rusher was a big need for us, do you like to pick more or less if this is the case?
I don't care what they called him.
Yeah, neither.
It's
a non-needle mover to me. He's a defensive lineman who can rush the passer. He's athletic.
Right.
He penetrates. Doesn't matter to me if they use him inside or outside. And I would expect him to see time at both, especially in sub-packages.
He certainly is seeing him in person, he certainly doesn't come across as defensive lineman.
He looks more like an end
or an outside linebacker than he does a tackle.
He does. I agree with Eric on that.
Speaking of Roger Goodell, what do you guys think of the playoff expansion talk?
Looks like it's going to happen.
Now,
but
now they're saying
I
they're not going to vote on it now or something today? I don't know.
Jerry Jones was quoted as saying that there's a lot of enthusiasm among the owners.
I want the expansion. I'm on an island.
I don't.
I'm on an island. And I'm not necessarily passionate about it, but I don't like the two byes. I think they need to do something to get rid of those, and this is a step at least to get rid of one of them. So I wouldn't mind seeing it, but I'm not overly passionate about it, and I do recognize that I'm in the vast minority in this one.
I like Jones says it would help my Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, I think that people get a little bit carried away with how much damage it would do. You know, I think that people have these visions of 6-10 teams making the playoffs that I just don't think are realistic. And there's always an anomaly, like Seattle a few years ago winning the West with a 7-9 record. That can happen. I mean, I think there's more examples of 10-6 not making the playoffs than 7-9, 6-10 making the playoffs that you'd see if they changed it. But again, I understand you guys. You know, you. If you wanted to do it that way, then I would take two away. I would take the third wild card away. I just don't like the byes. It's the only sport.
You want everybody to play it.
I'd like everybody to have to win the same amount of playoff games to win. And I think it's inequitable the way it is now. You play a 16-game season, and the teams that have the best records don't have to play as many games to get to the Super Bowl. I think that's an unfair advantage. I mean, I understand that you earn it, but I think it's an unfair advantage.
Alex from Philly writes in, when we talk about all the wide receivers that are locks to make this team, is Brandon LaFell one of them?
Yes.
Yeah. Does his contract make him not cuttable? I ask this because
pretty much.
If LaFell ends up having the same problems that every other free agent wide receiver has had when they came here, like he and Brady not being on the same page, I don't think we are so tied to him that he can't be cut, which would make room if someone like Gallen were to impress in camp. What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, you use the term tied to him. They're not tied to him because they signed him. They're tied to him because they gave him guaranteed money.
Yeah.
Now, they could cut him, but that's flushing a lot of cap dollars
exactly.
down the drain.
They should have just given me and Paul that extra money.
Because, you know, and I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but he got a reasonable signing bonus and his first year salary. That's going to be a significant cap hit to give to a guy that you just decided to cut, you know, right out of the chute.
I think this guy got more money than guys like Donald Hayes got or, you know, Joey Galloway got.
Those guys were minimum guys.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, Donald Hayes was 2002. I don't remember what he got. Joey Galloway was like a veteran minimum. He got like $1 million.
Who did they bring in last year that didn't work
None
out?
Of those guys got any money. Michael Jenkins, Donald Jones.
None of them
Donald
really
Jones. This
got,
guy was a targeted free agent. This guy wasn't a Jag they signed.
Right. Also, would you say that our pass rush has improved? I know we signed Smith in free agency and drafted a guy in the first who was more of a pass rusher, but I was under the impression that you needed an ACL to get to the quarterback.
I think the pass rush has the potential to be improved. Now, we'll see. We'll see if the health is there because they have two guys that they've added that are both dealing with ACL tears.
I say it's a wash at this point. I'm reserving judgment.
Other than hoping that Chandler Jones has a year three jump, I don't see where we are any better than last year on the edge.
Now, here's the thing, though. You had a lot of sacks last year. They had a lot of, I mean, in terms of numbers, they had a lot of sacks. Does that mean that they have had a good pass rush? I would say no.
Not necessarily.
I don't think they had a great pass rush last year. So they might not have as many sacks as they had last year, but be better at getting to the quarterback in key spots.
Right. Yeah. It's when they get the sacks. Critical situations. More of those.
You know, like, say,
third
the
and
AFC
long.
Championship game.
The
or
AFC
third
Championship.
Long.
Yeah.
Let's see. Paul in Ontario. Has there been any word from the league on whether they will be sanctioning or suspending Dennard given his off-field issues this offseason? When is the latest they could reasonably make such a decision?
That's a good question. That is a good question because that's a topic that hasn't come up in a while.
You know, Dennard did his stint in jail for a month, but the league could still, if they wanted to, I guess, suspend him.
I don't think that'll happen.
Yeah, I don't think they will.
He's on the Patriots.
He is, but I wouldn't...
I don't see that.
I wouldn't rule out a one or two game suspension, and that could happen. I mean, who knows exactly when, but I would say by training camp we would know one way or the other.
I would think so, right?
Yeah.
Also, what effect do you think the later draft will have on this year's rookies across the league? All of them will be a couple of weeks later receiving the team's playbooks. Will this affect the number who are ready to start in week one and possibly the number that clear training camp and make teams?
I don't think it's that significant, two weeks.
I agree with Eric. I don't think it's – I mean, it was a pain for us, but I don't think it's that much of an issue for them.
Now, if they move it another 2 weeks, as is being talked about, that's a little bit different. Now you're a whole month
– moving it all over the place too, Freddie.
I don't like this idea, Fred. Have you been keeping up with that?
What's that?
Goodell wants not only to lengthen the time of the draft – to 4 days.
Right, put it in different cities.
He wants to put it in different cities. He wants to put it on Memorial Day weekend.
I mean, Memorial Day weekend?
Yeah. What is he thinking?
That's crazy.
Who's going to be sticking around to watch the draft?
Well, you're really talking about rookies getting...
But you need to exert your influence, Fred. And you need to organize.
Well, you don't
because
like my idea.
If you can get these people
to ignore it.
Maybe they'll listen.
I do like your idea.
Or make a lottery.
If you get everybody to ignore it, maybe they'll listen. And you can do it, Fred. You're just the guy to do it.
Yeah,
right.
Murray agrees.
Memorial Day weekend, seriously. We get like every holiday in the world we have to work on.
Right.
We get one that happens to fall at a time where we can enjoy it. And let's have the draft on Memorial Day weekend. Thanks, Raj. Because I know you're listening to the fans. That's what they've been clamoring for.
Oh, yeah.
You know what they've been talking about? I don't want to go to the beach on Memorial Day
weekend. First
weekend
of summer, I
want to
watch
the draft.
And watch the draft for 4 days.
Well, it'll be at night.
That's even worse.
I know. I don't think.
Yeah.
See, that's.
Now I can sit on the beach all day, but I just can't drink.
But see, that's the
thing. So I can go to the draft.
That's the thing about people who work in a league, in this case the NFL, don't get is you need to step outside your bubble once in a while. People do not care about day four if there becomes a day four.
Yeah.
We do, and like really hardcore draftniks do, but that's a small group.
Right. You care about the first round, maybe a little bit of the second.
So you're really kind of wasting everyone's time.
And,
really.
And I know that I always make sarcastic jokes about this stuff, and I know what the numbers said about whatever 35 or 40 million people watched. I don't know anybody who watches. And I know nothing but passionate sports fans. As you can imagine, I don't have too many friends that are not interested in sports because I don't know anything about anything other than sports. So I don't really associate with people that don't share my interests. I don't know anybody that watches.
Yeah.
They click on and see who the Patriots took, and then they move along their merry way. 35, 45 million people, whatever it was. I don't know where they come from.
College
I really don't
kids.
Know where they come from.
Yeah.
There are all the sports bars that have the TV on.
I'm
but
not
that's
buying
not
it.
Counted. I mean,
are you sure?
No, I think it's a guy clicks counted. On the. He's clicking on the thing. Oh, went on. Bang. Yeah, there's one.
Right.
You know, it's like page hits.
But it has to be for a certain length of time. You have to have at least 15 minutes.
We've had this conversation before about how ratings are. You know, and continuous. Right now it's the Nielsen thing, and you know, like the majority of Americans now have that box, and it's just a matter of time before me as a consumer say, okay. I'm going to allow you to know what I'm watching, you know. But until then, we won't really know who's
right.
watching what.
You tell me that Sunday Night Football was the highest watched show of the year, and I buy that. And that was again that this past year, the Sunday Night Football game. I think it's the fifth year in a row was the highest watched program in primetime on regular network TV. That I totally get. It's a game. It's the last game. And you know why Monday Night Football and Sunday Night Football are always the highest rated? Gambling.
Oh, gambling is huge.
Because that's the last game that they have, the last two games. And the Sunday Night game is the best one because it's always a better matchup. That's why people watch. And that's their last game to recoup all the lost money from the weekend. But I'm sorry. I'm not buying that the draft is this... You know, I'm not buying that more people watch the draft than the Bruins game four against Montreal. I'm just not buying it.
Colin Waterloo, if the playoffs are expanded to 14 teams, I wouldn't be surprised if there's 16 teams shortly thereafter, so there would be no buys.
That's what I want.
That would then place half of the NFL teams in the playoffs each year. I personally think that's ridiculous. It would make the regular season much less important. Just look at the NBA. My only hope is if they do expand to 14 or 16 playoff spots, is there would be more expansion teams added in the coming years. Do you think that could happen?
Yes. I think you add two more teams and you expand to 16 teams.
See,
and that would probably coincide.
I'd rather do the playoff expansion. Adding teams to the league, I think you guys are complaining there's not enough talent as it is.
I don't think the football is very good, but that's
right. How's it going to make it better? More teams.
That's not necessarily talent related. I don't like the system of. I don't like football right now. I don't like the spread. I don't like where football is going in general.
Yeah,
it's not because these guys aren't talented. There's some incredible athletes. I don't think you can tackle anymore because it's a penalty. I think some of the things that they've done with the defense is really making it hard to play defense. There's a lot of different reasons that I don't like football right now.
James and Malden, Revis and Browner, he thinks the pass rush is better because Revis and Browner will give the line more time.
Yeah, but that doesn't make the pass rush better. Might mean you might be more productive in getting to the quarterback, but we're talking about the ability to get to the passer quickly.
I also think there are better players along the line, but the coverage alone will help.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I agree with the overall premise. I'm just... parsing words. I think that the coverage will be better with Revis. I don't know about Browner, but Revis will make the coverage.
Mike in
better.
Miami says, Paul, I think you are underestimating the Finns and the Jets. I hate to say it, but I think the Finns are better from 1 to 53, and if Tannehill can be more consistent, they pose a real threat.
Andy's not here. Anybody want to fill in my if?
The Jets always have a good D, and
if Tannehill can pan out, if...
like everyone else, all they need is some... A more
a
competent
ifs.
QB play. Your thoughts, please.
If
I just, I think
if
they
my
are
aunt had
better,
ball, she'd be my uncle. If Tannehill pans out, then I'll be a little scared of Miami.
I think the AFC East record outside of the AFC East will be decent this year, but I think the Patriots are also going to be better. And, you know, it's not like those teams are getting better and the Patriots are stuck in mud. I think all teams improve a little bit this year, and the Patriots keep pace.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Miami or the Jets in the least.
I forgot about your if.
They don't have quarterbacks. Way. If they have quarterback play that is worthy of championship level, then I'll be worried because I think that both of those teams, and I think Buffalo, I don't think is that bad personnel-wise. But unless you have a quarterback that can compete with Tom Brady, you can't compete with them for the division.
Yeah.
Callum in Toronto, first-time writer. I found the show about midway through last season and have been listening ever since. Today is my first day listening live, and I thank you for making my day less boring as I'm currently at my dad's office doing boring data entry as a summer job.
Well, wow.
At least you have a job.
Yeah.
My questions are about the players returning from injury. One, which player returning from a season-ending injury last year do you feel will be at 100% effectiveness this year or closest to it? I'd say Mayo.
Mayo, I would say, yeah. For that. Yeah. It's the only one I would have that
least devastating injury.
Yeah. Yep.
Volmer, probably, too. He broke his leg, right?
I was going to say, though, yeah. Volmer always has something.
No, well, I'm just saying, based on the injuries last year, that the Gronk situation, I can't say I know he's going to be 100%. And Will Fork, at his age, coming off such a serious injury, I don't have that.
Mayo's the safest pick there.
Yeah, Mayo. One, two, which player, apart from Gronk, returning from IR, would have the biggest impact in a Super Bowl run by returning to full health and being an impact player, aside from Gronk? I'd say Mayo again.
Sure. I mean, to me, Gronk is the only answer.
Well, you need that linebacker.
I would argue. Core. No, I would argue Wilfork only because they got run on so easily when Wilfork left that if they can hold other teams to, you know, minimal run rushing attack, I think that helps get you a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I just don't look at the other three as being difference makers. You know, like that.
No, but
like,
they said,
you
know, other
difference
than Gronk,
between
so.
A Super Bowl run. Yeah, I mean, I pick one. Mayo's fine with me. They're all fine with me. But Gronk to me is the only real answer. He can be the difference between going to the Super Bowl and not.
Yeah,
or going and winning it.
Yeah,
or going and winning it. Yes.
Toby from New York. Last episode, you guys brought up the fact that there's a tiny chance Andre Johnson gets traded to the Patriots. While this excites me, I kind of think Brady has lost his ability to throw the ball outside with accuracy since coming back from his injury. Him missing open receivers with the deep ball is now a common occurrence. In fact, I would even venture to say that Brady has been an outside wide receiver killer the past couple of years. Don't you think the same could happen with Andre Johnson? Well, I don't agree with the premise.
Well, that's 5 years you're talking about. You're saying he hasn't been able to throw the ball outside for 5 years since he got hurt?
Or misses the deep ball.
I don't think those things are his strength, to be honest with you. I don't think the deep ball was ever his strength.
Never was, no.
And I think it could be one of those 6-1, half dozen the other. Which came first? Does he not throw the ball well outside the numbers, or has he not had a really good outside the numbers receiver in recent years?
I also don't think he clearly wasn't his best last year. And we've seen a steady decline in his skills the last few years. But I don't
steady.
Think that...
Steady decline?
I think...
I beg to differ.
I'd say last year compared to 3 years ago, he was better 3 years ago than he was last year. But I don't think that has anything to do with his knee, Fred.
You don't think that... Like, you don't think there's been any drop-off?
There's been a little bit, but not a steady decline.
He's just saying that every year.
Every year.
He's been going
incrementally.
Down.
Incrementally. Yeah. He hasn't gone...
He didn't say a sharp, sharp drop-off. He said a steady...
incrementally.
Year.
I think there's not much difference between now and, say, 3 years ago.
Okay, but would you say it was down?
Maybe just... not much.
Okay.
Not much.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
Really?
His numbers were down across the board in every category.
Not much.
Significant.
And the eyeball test would tell you that he's not as good as he was four years ago.
You can sit there and say that was because of the receivers, and I think that was a big part of it.
But it has.
But
I
wonder how much the
knee.
Receivers had to do with the numbers being up when he had Gronk and Hernandez and Welker.
Right, and Moss.
And Moss.
But the premise was about the knee injury, and I don't think that had anything to do with the
yeah, I don't think that's,
the decline.
And I don't think he's a receiver killer either. I mean, I think that's...
That's harsh.
I think that he has had some trouble implementing new personnel into the passing game. I think that has been...
Other than Moss and Welker.
That has been an issue for him in recent years.
Emailer reminds me, since our last show, Michael Sam's docuseries got canceled on Oprah Winfrey, which I think is a great, you know, great decision. I don't know who made it.
Cooler heads prevailed. I think that was a smart move.
I think the team probably pressured him into not.
Well, whoever
doing
was involved that was listening to this show, obviously.
Right. Yeah, I think that was a good move.
I think we were all in agreement that he probably needs to focus 100% of his efforts on football and make the team.
Even if you think that, you know, part of your mission in life is to be on that platform, it's a bigger platform if you're actually on a team.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So let's make a team first, and then we'll worry about Oprah Winfrey after that. Mm.
And as you said, it's the Oprah Winfrey Network.
Right.
What does that mean?
Right. No one's watching.
Oh, I thought you had something else to say.
No.
You don't remember that from Tuesday?
What did he say Tuesday?
Last week, rather.
Oh, yes, I do. Yeah, yeah,
I don't care that he's gay.
I care that he's, you know.
I just don't want him to be a pussy.
Playing the role of Andy now, saying what we know you were saying.
Let's see. Juan is in Florida, and he's on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Juan.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Good.
Yeah, this first-time caller.
Thank you.
Hey, I had a question with Mayo coming back and Wilford coming back and Jamie Collins developing and his speed and Mayo's speed and Browner and Revis being there.
Super
you don't think the pass rusher is going to get real good?
I think Paul is basically what he's saying is, yes, help them get to the quarterback because they'll probably have more time, but does that make Ninkovich a better pass rusher?
I think
what he's saying.
But I think that Will Smith, Dominique Easley, perhaps, as Juan just mentioned, Jamie Collins. Eric just wrote a Pulse story in our current issue about Collins and Hightower both expressing some desire to rush the passer a little bit more often. By the way, you can get that on newsstands tomorrow, our post-draft edition with full profiles of all the Patriots draft picks. I think that personnel is all personnel, really, you didn't have involved in the pass rush last year. Those four guys. Easley, Will Smith, as well as Collins and Hightower. They really weren't active parts of the pass rush last year. Mm. I think that could improve your pass rush. The part that I don't necessarily say, I think that you might get more sacks due to coverage than you did last year. That doesn't necessarily mean your pass rush is better. But I think the personnel that Juan talks about, yes, I think they should be better getting after the quarterback this year.
Yeah, I believe they can do some crazy blitz packages. I mean, if they can send Jamie Collins or Mayo, they got the speed. And, I mean, they got Browner and Revis, and hopefully Browner plays like he's supposed to. And Revis comes back real good like he used to be.
Well, that's what we're all kind of dreaming about is if, you know, once Browner gets on the field and you've got these shutdown guys that they'll be willing to take more chances in the blitz. And, you know, we just haven't seen that a lot on a consistent basis here in New England for, you know, I don't know, I can't remember ever, but, you know, maybe since Slade and McGinnis, you know.
All right, that's all, man. You guys got a great show.
Okay,
I'm with you, Juan. I think the pass rush is better.
Thanks, Juan.
We'll see.
You got to treat the first-timers with kid gloves.
Oh, sure. You know, it's tough. This is a tough room.
Yeah, that's true.
Although
this is the day to express opinions. You will not be shouted down today.
Mike in Florida, Fred, does the utter contempt that Belichick shows toward your profession bother you at all? No, not at all. I've heard
nothing bothers Fred.
I have heard many radio personalities say it was too early to take a quarterback high, thinking that Brady has 3 to 4 years left. So they are assuming Brady will be only the second quarterback in history to be productive into his 40s. I think it is far more likely he will fall fast. What do you guys think?
Well, Fred doesn't think he's been in decline. So,
Think he's already in decline?
He is.
I do think he's in decline, but I think he can play. First of all, his 40s is not exactly accurate.
Right.
His fourth year would be when he's 40,
when he turns
correct?
40. Yes.
That's correct. The last year of his contract.
He'll be 37 this year.
He would be 40 in the last
year
of his contract.
Correct.
Right. I think it's very plausible for him to be
it quits.
Remaining in the starting job until he's 40. Now, if that makes him an anomaly, I don't care what it makes him, but I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility.
No.
And I do think that they could have selected a guy that could have helped him in the here and now and selected a quarterback next year or the year after that could have been Brady's successor. I don't think there's anything worthy of criticizing someone with that opinion. I mean, I don't think they took a surefire Andrew Luck. If they had done that, if they had an opportunity to get a guy like
pick.
But if they had an opportunity to get a guy like that, then I would say he was worth doing it 4 years ahead of time. In my opinion, they didn't get it. Now, in their opinion, they did.
Nick in Illinois, quick questions. In the aftermath of the draft shows, fantastic job, by the way, I thought it would be fun to go back in time to an earlier draft show to see what you all thought about some of the players. I chose the 2008 draft, and two things stuck out to me. One,
we liked Mayo.
You really liked Vernon Golston. All of you
did.
Like
I really
big swing
him.
And miss. Though I have to give props to one of the longtime Canadian listeners. Sorry, I forgot the name. As he predicted a bust from the beginning. Did
that's
I like Vernon Golston? I don't even think
that's because the Jets took him.
Two, there was a fifth member of the crew. After a few minutes, I wanted to turn the show off. Is this the guy commonly referred to as he who must not be named?
Yes.
did not care for him.
Yes.
He was here in 08?
Yes.
Really?
For the draft part of it.
Oh, okay.
And then I think after that was...
Yeah, he left just before the 08 season.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm sure glad you guys have a dynamic... I'm glad you guys have the dynamic you do now. It works perfectly. I think Eric and even Kevin are good pieces to the PFW puzzle. So
is it nice to be included and not have the even part about you? I was guilty as charged, emailer. I was a big Vernon Golston guy.
We all were.
I think we all were. I thought he was.
Did I like him?
I don't think you did. But
I don't think you were.
I think I was indifferent.
The Jets picked him.
Yeah, I wasn't against him.
Then you hated him.
It wasn't had anything to do with going into the draft. It was when the Jets picked him. You said he stunk.
Pretty sure.
Yeah. That's generally the way you roll.
Although I didn't say that when they picked the quarterback out of USC, Dirty Sanchez. Yeah, I thought
Sanchez,
he was going to be a good NFL player.
I did too, and I didn't think. I thought it was he left too early. I thought he needed more time, but I thought he had talent, and I think he does have talent.
I think
that he got kind of screwed up a little bit.
That's a perfect example of your first job can really screw you up.
Yeah, I think that part of it was New York. I think in a weird way, I think he had too much success early. I think the fact that they made deep playoff runs his first 2 years, I think sort of got the bar up in ridiculous places.
Yeah.
Whereas if he had just sort of come in and won some and had some growing pains, maybe he could have gotten through it. I mean, I think they looked at those teams as, we would have won the Super Bowl if not for this guy. If we could have had a guy that was ready, we might have won the Super Bowl in those 2 years. Don't you think Jets fans look at it like that?
Sure.
And I think that was bad for him.
Bad. Reza writes in, I don't understand why the Patriots didn't sign Colt Laierla. Packers got him. I understand they are hesitant with the Hernandez situation, but that could have happened to any team. That guy was a psychopath. It was a one-off. Watch this guy, Laierla, be a total stud in Green Bay with Rodgers. You like him?
No. I really don't.
Okay.
I'm glad that they passed on him when they had the chance.
Kevin writes in, I was listening to your podcast from last Thursday, and as you guys were piling on the Tavon Wilson pick, I was wondering if the draft itself was just plain weak. As I looked down the draft, it had only a few all pros, which were Russell Wilson, Nick Foles, and Alfred Morris. Everyone else were duds. To me, Bill may have gotten the pick wrong, but you could also argue all 32 teams got their draft wrong based on the weakness of the draft. The argument to me is flawed.
So in 2 years, you think that the only way you can be a good pick is being an all-pro? I mean, that's kind of a...
Well, that's what he's saying.
I'm 1,000% sure there's more than three good players in that draft.
He's trying to judge the draft.
And they also took a guy that, right, wrong, or indifferent, the experts had as a seventh-round/free agent in the second round. And that would be one thing if the guy panned out, but he played about three defensive snaps last year, so... He hasn't panned out.
Let's see. Someone named Freddie writes in, listening to the show last Thursday and enjoyed the fact that people were listening separately but in one office and the mixture of intellectual listeners. I myself am a diplomat for the British Foreign Office. So I hope I classify as one of the most unique listeners.
That would classify.
So how much diplomatic relations has Andy cost us?
Oh, a lot.
Over the years.
Yeah. Regarding the drafting of Easley, do you think that having someone who is going to penetrate down the middle, cue Andy Laughter, that it will mean Jones and Ninkovich get greater freedom to rush from the edge?
Possible.
Hope so.
Yeah. It depends on the attention he gets.
And assuming that he is in the middle.
Now, I can't imagine Easley is going to garner double teams.
But see, that's,
so
we
really
said the same thing about Wilfork.
Outside.
You know, Wilfork always takes up a double team. Mm. That should help Chandler Jones, and, you know, did it. I don't know.
No, and I don't really think that Wilfork got double teamed either on a pass rush situation, because I don't really think they looked at him like that. Now, certainly, if you want to run inside, you had to get a couple of bodies on Vince.
Yep. All right. So, what's
are we done already?
Yeah. What's up for the rest of the week? We got.
We had one piece of news that we didn't get to.
Oh.
Was for training camp.
Okay.
We're going to Richmond. The team announced yesterday for a few days of
good
practices with the Washington Redskins at their training camp headquarters in
okay.
at the Bon Secours Center.
Oh,
I think it was called for Paulie. So we'll be there for a few days prior to the preseason opener at FedEx Field against the Redskins.
Correct. They're going to be there for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday,
with
right?
The Redskins.
Yes. That's yes. Fourth, fifth, and sixth. Okay.
And then
the
seventh
is on the seventh,
I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that Eric is right. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yep.
You guys. Well, Eric will be there.
Yes.
Fred, you're not going to go.
I don't. I doubt it. Too much time out of the office.
Yeah. You're a busy guy. You got a lot of meetings.
Got a lot of.
Especially
meetings.
That time of year.
This time of year is very, very busy.
Right.
Yeah.
But we'll be there. We'll be there to cover it for
thanks.
You.
Thanks. Yeah.
You have that to look forward to. The because we have a lot of people. We have a lot of fans in that area.
We do.
Sure, we do.
And that Alexandria. Virginia / D.C. area.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be good. And they are going to be open to the public.
Maybe
they
I'll send you guys.
Yes.
Just
they'll be
fans.
Open. They'll be open to the public. Oh, that'll be great for Andy.
Right.
So that's an opportunity to catch the team.
Dan and Alexandria.
Yes. Our Australian
Olivier.
Mate.
Olivier.
Yeah, Olivier.
Olivier. Maybe I'll go just to see Olivier.
Brad in the Eastern Shore can't be too far away.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll be back Thursday with more talk. More access. We might have a player. I don't know.
To be determined on Thursday who the players are.
All right. So thanks for listening. We'll see you Thursday. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Because
that was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.